Good morning, everybody. Thank you all for being today. Good. It is wonderful to be here with you and worship and together in God's house.
And just a couple of announcements this morning. First of all, happy Transfiguration Sunday. There is the furniture sale at Levin's. So it's a tent sale, you know, so that'll be good. We are grateful. Thank you to Peggy and all who helped at the Valentine dance that we had here Thursday night. We had 70 folks, and it was a great time. Yes, indeed, it was a great time. It was people of all abilities and ages and coming, you know, it was a great time. So hopefully next time, just stop in and say hi so they can see what beautiful people we have here at the Valley. We will be observing Ash Wednesday this Wednesday at 7 p.m. with the imposition of ashes and also celebrating communion. And this week there are Lenten devotionals that you can make use of, and they're at the back of the sanctuary there to your right on your way out. If you would like to take those with you today or take one for a friend, please do. And also, you'll find information about the upcoming craft fair the Women's Association's putting on here. And again, calling for baked goods. It's on March 14th. And if you need to bring them in earlier, that's okay too. You can give them to Miss BJ and they'll be put in the freezer. I have a poem that I'd like to share, a poem prayer before we begin our formal worship today, call to worship, and it's from Padre Gotuma's book, Being There. Turning to the day and to each other, we open ourselves to the day and each other. This is the day that the Lord has made, and a day we will have to make our way through. Whether with ease or pain, with patience or joy, may we find opportunities for generosity towards others and ourselves. May we find moments of encounter even in isolation. May we find stories and memories even in the most complicated corners. May we start again where we have failed again. May we confess and be confessed to. Because this is a way of living that's worth living daily. And I invite you to join with me in our call to worship. God says, "Come to me and wait. I will give you instructions and commandments in written form."
We come to you and wait to see and hear what you will say.
In days past, God wrote on stone tablets, but now God writes words upon our heart that we may teach them.
We offer our hearts to receive your words, and what we learn will teach others.
Heaven is open above us, and the kingdom is within us.
Wherever we go, the kingdom comes.
And now I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we sing our opening hymn, Shine, Jesus, Shine. please pray with me? Waiting is not always easy for us, especially while living in a realm where instant gratification is perceived as proof of being blessed. You wait for us and on us often. Help us to remember that we are to be of good courage as we wait on you and for you. My beloved, we must remember and encourage others to remember that our God waits for us to return, that our God stands with us in the waiting and forgives us and extends us mercy. No matter how long it takes, we are forgiven. Say what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And let us offer to one another some sign of Christ's peace.
Transfigure us, O Lord, transfigure.
transfigure us, O Lord. That's a prayer of the heart. And today we'll hear about Jesus' transfiguration in scripture and sermon. And Jesus shone like the stars, the sun. The brilliance of God was in him and through him. And scripture says, we will be like him. That's where you're headed. That's where the journey takes us. We will be like him. And so, what a wonderful prayer. Transfigure us that we may be like Jesus. Sermon today, I don't know if you noticed it or not. An epiphany wrapped in a theophany. You've been reading books again, haven't you? Is that it?
Yeah.
She went to the seminary and got a book.
A bunch of books.
You're not smart enough to come up with a title like that, you know. So just be careful. These preachers, they read books. They're liable to say anything. So we look forward to being there. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, you're high and lifted up, and yet you come among us to care for the lowly, to touch and heal the broken. How grateful we are. Today we would see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, whose love and compassion illumines the whole world and causes us to see everything differently. The things that the world calls great, important, now becomes worthless. And the things that the world forgets and overlooks and avoids become everything in this kingdom turned upside down. We need to be transformed to see that, to live into the likeness of the love of Christ, who renews us so that we may share in his light and glory. Oh God, as Jesus drew apart to be in prayer with you and to offer his prayers for the world, for the transformation of the world, so we take this moment of silence to pray for your world too. Oh God, where there is conflict and anger and violence, bring your shalom to us. Where there is brokenness and grief and tears, be our healing strength. Where lives reach out without strength of their own, be the strength and power that your Spirit can bring. Oh God, reveal your glory and presence to us that we may live in your light in this world, set free from all that holds us in fear. The fear that keeps us from each other, that causes us to make decisions or become separated and misunderstandings. Fear of a different person from us because of color, our language, our custom. all those fears that we have of each other. Touch us in our fears so that we can love all of your creation as you love all of your creation. Show us and teach us how to love like you love and to love whoever you love. Bring to an end all separations. And empower us to live and act and breathe and celebrate with joy that we are Jesus people. May the brightness of the risen life of Jesus Christ guide each one of us to your eternal safekeeping. We bring you our prayers in the name of this risen one, whom we call Lord, and we pray as he taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Invite us to rise in body or spirit as we sing together our second hymn, We Have Come at Christ's Own Bidding. Please be seated. And at this time, will the ushers come forward as we receive the morning's offering?
gifts, O God, which are from you, we return to you for the benefits and the blessing of all of your creation. Amen.
This morning, the scripture reading is Matthew 17, 1 to 9. And it's from the New Revised Standard Version.
Updated and edited.
Okay.
So they keep adding on little letters.
Yes, I didn't get
the very newest of the New Revised Standard Version.
Okay. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became bright as light. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will set up 3 tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they raised their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord.
And this is the Sunday before Ash Wednesday, known as Transfiguration Sunday. And so every year on this Sunday, we do hear this story, either from Matthew or Mark or Luke. And we just heard Janet read Matthew's version. The moment on the mountaintop when Jesus and the disciples are there with Moses and Elijah. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Propel, propel, propel your craft gently down liquid solution. Ecstatically, 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 existence is but an illusion. Arlie and I know that song. You all know that song. Do you know it? Yeah. Propel, propel, propel your craft gently down liquid solution. It's row, row, row your boat. But it's been remixed by King Friday from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Because King Friday, he just liked to use bigger words. It was very royal. It's what it was. And I think that's what theologians and preachers do sometimes, especially with passages like today. As you can see, it's this transfiguration of Jesus, which is simply an epiphany wrapped in a theophany, which simply is just that it is a life-changing aha moment when God shows up in tangible form. Now, the transfiguration, it's been explained that way, epiphany in a theophany. We've tried to tame it that way. And this week, I did read a lot of books, and I listened to a lot of discussions, and I read commentary way back from the very beginning, and the most recent, too, trying to make sense of this story. And there were so many questions asked hundreds of years ago, still asked today. Was Jesus really lit up? Or was Jesus always radiant all the time? And it was the disciples whose eyes were really opened, their hearts were really opened. And this time they saw this change, not change in Jesus, but saw Jesus for who Jesus was. And why are Moses and Elijah there? Do they symbolize the law and the prophets? Did this really happen, or is this one of those occasions when the authors of the Bible have created a sacred story now inspired by God, but not one that we should take as an actual event, historical or otherwise? Is it a beautiful myth of God's creation with holy meaning, symbolic? The truth is, nobody knows for sure except for God. But if you ask me, I believe that something really did happen on that mountain, like what we have described here. Something big, because Peter, James, and John, I mean, even though they had been with Jesus for a long time now, well, on this day, at this moment, they saw him in a revelatory way, and it changed them. Prior to this, the disciples knew Jesus in the human way, and they had been listening to his stories and his preaching, and they'd seen him heal. But still, their understanding of who Jesus was, it wasn't fully realized. Now, Peter, he's starting to understand that there's more to Jesus. When the passage says 6 days before, some of the events that took place for that, in those days before this event, Peter will say, well, some say you are one of the prophets, some say you're this or that, but I say you are the Messiah. Now, Peter also again then will say, when Jesus predicts his death and tries to tell the disciples about that, that's when he'll say, no, this will never happen. And Jesus will say, get thee behind me. But Peter was getting there. Little by little, they're catching on. But here today in this story, on that mountain, they witness a big reveal. They hear the voice of God speaking to them and letting them know, with words almost matching the words at Jesus' baptism, this is my son, the beloved, with him I am well pleased. And God adds, listen to him. The voice of God breaking through, the Son of God, shining, radiant. And what happens to the disciples? Well, they are afraid. That would be frightening. It would be. We can't be critical of them. But notice what Jesus does. Jesus touches them and says, get up, do not be afraid. And in that moment, they know that the person touching them isn't just their friend Jesus encouraging them. No, they know this is the Son of God touching me. This is a breakthrough of the divine into ordinary life. And they're going to need that breakthrough, because they can't stay on this glorious mountaintop with Jesus just reassuring them not to be afraid. Soon they'll be going down the mountain, and right away they're going to meet a man who believes that his child has been possessed by a demon. And what will happen to them when they get down from the mountain? Jesus will tell them again, not once but twice, that he soon will be killed. And then eventually they will see their Savior on another mountain, on a cross. And that face that was shining will be covered with sweat and blood. And the clothes that were luminous, they will all be stripped away. And Jesus will not be able to reassure them, do not be afraid. Instead, they're going to hear Jesus cry out to Abba and then declare, it is finished. And he will die. And that's the path that we will walk during these next 6 weeks, the path from this glorious mountaintop experience to the agony of the mountain of the crucifixion. But for today, though, we have this great inbreaking of the powerful, tangible love of God. And so we are invited to remember this and hold on to this memory as we will consider together the painful events to come. And it's like our everyday lives. Our lives, if you live long enough, you know that it's filled with mountains and hills, both of ecstasy and sorrow. You get over one more mountain and there is another mountain. But these mountains, like the one described in the Transfiguration when God seems to break through, they are the ones that we must hold on to. I know you remember the little snow event that we had at the end of January. We weren't the only part of the country that was struck this way. And my friend Judy up at the library, during that event, her little sister died in Tennessee. And Judy is one of four sisters, and she and the other two live here in Pittsburgh. And it didn't look like there was any way for them and she to get, she for all of them to get to Tennessee to be with her little sister's husband and family. And so there was this grief-stricken family separated when they needed each other the most. Her little sister's husband had said, don't worry about coming. It's not safe. It's bad here. Her children all said, no, Aunt Judy, Aunt Joss, don't come. But Judy and her sisters and their families, they didn't tell their grieving family in Tennessee that they were going to try to make it because they didn't know if it was going to work. But they tried. And Judy told me, she said, when they saw us walk in, it was like my little sister was there too. They held each other and they grieved and they loved and they stood alongside one another in this dark, dark hour. And that was God breaking through. That was a theophany. Judy's little sister was gone. Yes, the heartbreak was still palpable, but God broke through and something holy happened. And I wonder if you can conjure up in your memory a time when you have witnessed the inbreaking of the divine. Maybe something that you might off the cuff think is just ordinary, like a beautiful sunrise or sunset. It wasn't ordinary anymore. It touched you. The birth of a child, a hand extended in forgiveness and reconciliation. Just try to conjure up that memory and don't overanalyze it or don't explain it. And I asked Mickey if she would just play for about a minute and a half. And if you feel comfortable, close your eyes and just try to conjure up that image again, that memory. Beloved, I hope you were able to find an image, a memory. Hold on to it for when you need it again. Because the truth is, you're going to need it again. We all walk toward that cross. Mountains of lost disappointments. And when we stand in those places, the inbreaking of the holy is hard to discern. But maybe that memory and the stories of such memories that we can share with one another will become the embodiment of God's love to get us through. Epiphanies wrapped in theophanies. May they be reminders that the one who will hang on a cross is also the one who shines. May we be reminded, no matter where we are, that Christ shines on. Amen. I'd now like to ask our martyr, our clerk of session, Cliff, to come forward. Well, now we have something very special. As Protestants, we believe the priesthood of all believers, and we are all ministers, but certain times in certain spaces and places, people are set apart. We are called into the Church of Jesus Christ by baptism, as marked by Christ's own, by the Holy Spirit. And this is our common calling, to be disciples and servants of our servant Lord. Within the community of the church, some are called to particular service as deacons, as elders, and as ministers of the word and sacraments. Ordination is Christ's gift to the church, assuring that Christ's ministry continues among us, providing for ministries of caring and compassion in the world, ordering the governance of the church, and preaching the word and administering the sacraments.
Representing one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the session of Blanchot Valley Church is called to the active service those that have previously ordained, share with me for B.J. Morrison and Clifford Hunt. And now we'll get to the end.
So I have some questions for you, Peggy, and they're not triplets. Do you, Peggy, trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, and acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal and God's word to you?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable exposition of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God?
I do, and I will.
Will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions?
I will.
Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit?
I will.
Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world?
I will.
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church?
I will.
Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love?
I will.
That will not be hard for you. Will you be a faithful elder watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in governing bodies of the church, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
I will.
Do we, the members of the church, accept Peggy, Cheryl, BJ, and Cliff as elders, chosen by God, through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ. That we do.
We do.
And now I would love to invite any ordained elders or deacons to come forward as we lay hands on Miss Peggy and pray together. So anyone who would like, who's ordained,
or
please pray with me. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon your precious daughter, Peggy, whom you called through baptism as your own and you marked as your own. Grant her the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Give her a spirit of truthfulness that she may show the compassion of Christ in the actions of daily living and rightly govern her people. Give her the gifts of the Holy Spirit to build up the church, to strengthen the common life of her people, and to lead with compassion and vision. In the walk of faith and for the work of ministry, give to your beloved gladness and strength, discipline and hope, humility and humor, and courage, and an abiding sense of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Peggy, you are now an ordained elder, and you are called to serve the Church of Jesus Christ and this congregation. Be faithful and true to your ministry, I know you will, and so that your whole life will bear witness to the crucified. And I invite you to rise in the heart of your spirit as we sing together our closing hymn, Majesty.
May the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all those whom you love and all those whom no one loves this day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen.